platinum. Let's go to Psalm 116, Psalm 116 this morning. We started this in Sunday school, so if you were in Sunday school, I gave you the foundation of what I'm going to be preaching today, throughout the day, today and tonight. I doubt I'm going to get through this morning, so I'm planning on continuing this evening, like I like to do. But I want to talk about something that I think is really, really important. I don't think sometimes we spend enough time on that. And again, in Sunday school, we listed, 70 different benefits of God? Now, some of you sitting there, you missed Sunday school, you might be saying, I think there's a lot more than that. You're right, there's a lot more than that. But when you start to try to think those things and try to come up with those, it takes some thought to list all the benefits of God. But God is a God of benefits. We named a whole bunch of other things. I said to the folks, keep it in your Bible. I'm going to keep mine right here in the Bible. I go right along with everybody else. And when you feel down and discouraged, take that list out and just go through it. Just look at it. The benefits of God.
Amen.
How good God is.
Amen.
He is a good God.
Amen.
Regardless of what it is you're going through in your life, He's a good God. You've got to remember that. He's a good God. He's a good God every day.
Right.
When you're having a horrible, bad day at work or with family or health or whatever, He's still a good God.
Amen.
When things don't go your way, He's still a good God.
Amen.
You have to understand that. Stop blaming everything on God.
Right.
It's not God's fault that all these things are, kind of crumbling around you. A lot of it is our own problem.
Yeah.
We bring a lot of things into our own life. Anyway, Psalm 116. When you're there, stand, please. I'm going to read the entire Psalm. So get ready. Not that long. 19 verses. We can do this. I'm going to read it out loud. You're just going to follow along in your Bible. And we're going to look at a thought this morning. Psalm 116, verse 1 says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bond. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Father, bless the message. Use it for Your honor and for Your glory. Help us to see some things here today that we need to have in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message today, and we'll continue it tonight, is the first four words of verse 12 of that passage. What shall I render?
Yeah.
What shall I render?
Amen.
Psalm writer says. What shall I render?
Right.
What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? The Psalm writer is kind of saying something like this. God, how can I ever pay You back for all that You've done for me? I asked this question in Sunday school, and I'll ask it to you. But can we ever pay God back for what He has done for us?
No.
You can't. You can't pay God back for everything that He's done for you. You can be grateful and thankful, and you should every day. You should thank God for His benefits. You should thank Him for saving your soul.
Amen.
You should thank Him for forgiving you of all your sins.
Amen.
You should thank God for everything that you have in your life.
Amen.
You should thank Him. Thank Him for the good. Thank Him for the bad. Just thank Him, thank Him, thank Him.
Amen.
Tell Him you love Him.
Yeah.
Tell Him you love Him often.
Amen.
I think you should do that every day.
Amen.
Read His Word. Get into some of these things. But the question is what shall I render? And again, the word render means to return or to pay back. And again, you can't pay God back everything that He's done for you. Our God is a merciful God.
Amen.
Rich in mercy. The word mercy, we talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. It's not getting the bad that we deserve. That's what mercy is. If you don't know that, write that down. Not getting the bad that we deserve.
Amen.
And then grace, God is a gracious God. God is a God that's full of grace. Grace is getting the good that we don't deserve.
Yeah.
That's what grace is. Getting the good that we don't deserve.
Yeah.
So with God's mercy and God's grace, we're not getting what we do deserve, and we're getting something that we don't deserve.
God is good.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
We're in a win-win situation, Christian.
Amen.
Win-win. We're going to win. I know it may be rough right now. You might be going through some hardships right now. It might be. Life is not always easy. You have easy spells in your life. Sometimes you go through times or days that it's fairly easy. Maybe somewhat pain-free, and maybe somewhat trouble-free. We do have a few of those days once in a while, don't we?
Yeah.
I said once in a while. I'm on your side there. But God's still a good, gracious, merciful God. We need to think about the benefits of God. But I want us to, we focused on that in Sunday school. We listed about 70 of them, I think. But today I want to talk about, what shall I render? What can I give back to God because He's given me so much? Is there some things that we can give back to God? Well, the answer to that is yes.
Amen.
And that's what I want to get into today. We can't pay God back for everything that He's done for us, but we can give back some things that we have in our own life. We can give those back to God.
Amen.
Just in honor of Him being our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Just telling Him how good He is. We can give Him some things back, and that's what we're going to get into today. Because the psalm writer asks the question, what shall I render unto the Lord? Now, I like what he says in verse 14. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all His people.
That's right.
He says it again in verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. And so as the psalm writer asks the question in verse 12, he's kind of answering it in verses 14 and verses 18.
Yeah.
So I can pay back my vows. I can keep my promises that I make in the presence of God's people. He wasn't ashamed to be in the presence of God's people. You should never ever be ashamed to be in the presence
Amen.
Of God's people. You should never ever be ashamed of coming to church.
Amen.
And being in the house of God. You shouldn't be. That shouldn't ashamed you.
Amen.
You should be able to get out in the morning and get out of your home, wherever that is, and carry your Bible to your car and not care what the neighbors say.
Amen.
And get in your vehicle and drive to church dressed up in your Sunday go to meeting clothes.
Amen.
Which I used to wear back in those days, right? Sunday go to meeting clothes. So that shouldn't embarrass you. That shouldn't bother you. That really shouldn't offend anybody. And if it does offend somebody else, so what?
Amen.
Let me just stop and say this. You might have a spouse or a family member that doesn't come to church. That should not keep you from going to church.
Amen.
Amen.
Your family member should see you getting up, getting dressed, reading your Bible, taking your Bible, and going to church.
Amen.
That is the
Amen.
Best testimony that you can be for a family member that you can't get in church.
Yeah.
Is for them to see you going to church.
Amen.
And for them to see you take that initiative to do what God, you know what God wants you to do. Remember that. It's something that we should always do. So, what shall I render? What are some of the things that we can do? One morning, R.C. Chapman, a devout Christian in the 1800s, was asked how he was feeling. You ever ask somebody how you're feeling?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing today? We say that a lot.
All the time.
How's it going today? How you doing? Here's what his response was, and I quote, "I'm burdened this morning. I'm burdened this morning." But he had a happy countenance on his face anyway. And so the man that asked him the question says, "Are you really burdened, Mr. Chapman?" He said, "Yes, but it's a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings for which I cannot find enough time or words to express my gratitude."
Amen.
That's what caused him to be burdened. Seeing the puzzled look on the face of his friend, Chapman added with a smile, "I'm referring to Psalm 68:19. Turn over there, please. We looked at it in Sunday school. We're going to look at it again. Psalm 68:19. Psalm 68:19, and this is what R.C. Chapman says. He says, "I'm referring to this verse, and it says, 'Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah.'" What does Selah mean? Stop and ponder. Think about it. Just rest for a few minutes. It's a musical rest. So just stop and rest and think about that. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with his benefits, even the God of our salvation." R.C. Chapman goes on and he says, after he quoted that verse to his friend, he said, "which fully describes my condition. In that verse, the Father in heaven reminds us that he daily loads us with benefits." And Mr. Chapman didn't know how to thank God for that. I sometimes have a hard time. How can I thank you, God, for all the things you've done for me? But you can thank him. You know what you say? "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Benedict sing a song. I love that song. "Thank you, Lord." I think you sing that song. You sing a song like that. Just do this. This is yesterday's song. You sing something about that. You did something last night. Just do this. All right. But we can thank God. Just thank him. Thank him for the day. Thank him for the morning. Thank him for the birds that sing in the morning.
Amen.
Thank him for the green grass, the flowers that are starting to pop up, and the leaves back on the tree. I love this time of year.
Amen.
By Memorial Day, all the leaves are back. All the bugs are back. All the spiders and bees and snakes, they're back. Seen two of you already. Started this summer. Two snakes. Paul's my hero. He can tell you later why he's my hero. But then I'm your hero too, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. So one of those heroes. He'll tell you why. What shall I render? Let's talk about it. What shall I render? Go over to another verse on this. Then we'll get into the message. Psalm 103. Look at Psalm 103 and verse 2. Psalm 103, verse 2. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits. Well, in order to forget not all his benefits, you've got to remember what his benefits are. You've got to know what his benefits are. That's what we covered in Sunday school. About 70 that we just kind of rattled off during that 40 minutes or so. You've got to know what the benefits of God are.
Amen.
And then once you know them, don't forget them.
Amen.
Keep them up here. Keep them here in your heart. Keep them written down. Just enjoy that what God has given to us. Because God is a God of benefits.
Amen.
Many times people will go and look at a job and look at the benefits of the job. What is my hourly rate? What is my salary? What is the? Is there a 401k? How good is that? Is there all kinds of benefits that go along with a job? Many times when I was younger, that's what I was looking for, a job that had benefits behind it.
Yeah.
And we appreciated all of those benefits that I received from those jobs that I had. And many times we go and we look for the benefits. And that many times will determine what job you take is based on the benefits of that job. Sometimes you'll look at the benefits that more importantly than the hourly rate. But just because you want benefits. Well, God has given you all the benefits you need in your life.
Amen.
All, every single one. God has given you these benefits. Go over to Luke chapter 10. What do we owe the Lord? I'm going to give you a few things that I believe that we owe the Lord. What shall I render? The Bible says there in our text in Psalm 116 and verse 12. What shall I render? But here in Luke 10, let's look at something here. I give you the first one, and I think this is the most important. Because without this one, you can't have the others that I've written down. I believe that we owe the Lord our love. The reason is because He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love is what was the motivating factor that brought Jesus Christ to this earth to die for our sins. That was it. It was love. Amen. It was the love that Christ had for us. It was the love that God had for the entire world. Every human being. Christ died for every human being. Amen. The ones that we look at. The good ones and the bad ones. Died for them all. Amen. There are no good ones in the eyes of God until they've been saved.
Amen.
We're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Every one of us is a sinner. You've lied, you've cheated, you've failed God, you've fallen flat on your face, you've done things that you know that you should not have done in your life. You and I have sinned.
Amen.
Don't sit there and say, not me, I haven't sinned, because you have.
Amen.
In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, it says, and he answering said, let me read verse 26. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Jesus answers and says, this man is answering back to Jesus, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah, that's what the law says. We are to love God first, and we are to love our neighbor second, and we come in last. Remember the little acronym, JOY? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That brings real joy to your life. But the world has it upside down. And that's why there's very little joy today. People are only thinking about themselves first. And if they have any time for anybody else, they'll throw that in there. And God, forget it. People don't have time today for God. Your average person today does not have time for God. Don't have time for church, don't have time to read the Bible, don't have time to pray, can't afford to tithe, can't afford to give. People don't have time for God today.
Yeah.
Their schedules are busy, they get up in the morning and they got to rush off to work and they're busy all day at work. No time for God there, and then they get home and they got all kinds of responsibilities. They got to get the lawn mowed, they got to get the garage clean, they got to fix dinner, they got to spend time with the family, and so there's no time. And by the time you get done with your evening, you're tuckered out. You're ready to hit the pillow. No time for God. And that goes on day after day after day after day. And so, this man said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Verse 29, but he willing to justify himself. Well, verse 28 he says, Jesus answered him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor?
Yeah.
Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, When I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Verse 37 says, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now when we look at this context, we're so focused on the Good Samaritan, we're focused on the priest, we're focused on the Levite, we're focused on the situation, we're focused on the trip from Jerusalem down to Jericho, that we forget about what Jesus is trying to really convey here.
Yeah.
He's really trying to convey a love towards other people. He's really trying to convey a love towards Him, a love towards God. Because that's what the man said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, however he put it. And he said, then you are to love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus put him to a test. Well, let me test you a little bit. And so he gives a parable of the Good Samaritan. And he gives it very clear. And so what he is trying to do is he's just trying to show, point out and show where is true love anyway.
Yeah, that's good.
Obviously the priest didn't care anything about the man that fell among the thieves. He just glances over and sees the man and just keeps right on going. Now the priest would kind of represent some kind of a religious individual. You would think that the priest would go over and care for the man. Wouldn't you?
Right. Yeah.
Amen. You know why we have people coming by the church constantly and calling the church all the time, looking for help, looking for clothes, looking for food? I told you in Sunday school, we had a Muslim drop by the other day. He was looking for food, looking for clothes. And we have people coming by here all the time. They think that the church owes them or has to take care of them. I've had people accuse me when I couldn't give them money. I've had people that have come by accuse me of not caring and not loving them because I wouldn't give them money. And I simply say, look, I don't give out cash to anybody that I don't know. Because I don't know what you're going to do with that cash. You don't trust me? Not really. Because how do you know that they're going to take that cash and go and buy food or buy clothes? You don't know that. I don't know that.
Right.
I have to be careful with God's money.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Especially when I see a pack of cigarettes sitting in a guy's shirt pocket.
Yeah, right.
Or I can smell smoke on him or her. Or booze.
Yeah.
We've had them all come by here that way. So I just don't give up. So I've been accused of not caring for people. And it's not that I don't care. I gave this gentleman the other day a bunch. I gave him some food. I went into our house. Kathy doesn't even know this, but I went into the pantry and took out some of our food. Put it in the guy's bag. Sent him on his way. Tried to witness to him. Tried to tell him that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus loves him. Gave him a gospel tract. Gave him some things to read. And off he went. But here the Lord is given a parable of this Good Samaritan. The priest comes along. And here's a man. He's laying there. He's probably moaning and groaning. He's suffering. You can tell that he'd been beaten up. You can tell that he'd been robbed. And the priest just comes along. Just keeps right on going. The Levite, he comes along. So the priest would represent the law keeper. He would represent religion. But he doesn't care really for the man at all. The Levite, he comes to the place in verse 32. And he came and he looked on him. He got a little closer anyway. At least came over and looked at the man. He's breathing. He'll be okay. And he keeps right on going. The Levite would kind of represent maybe the worker, the guy that's doing the task. The Levite was the guy that performed all of the things in the tabernacle or in the temple. So he was the worker in that religion. And yet he didn't care enough about the guy to help him out at all. And then the Samaritan shows up. You know, there's three different kinds of attitudes in this whole little parable.
Uh-huh.
I jotted these attitudes up. Attitude number one is what's yours is mine. What belongs to you belongs to me. That's the thief.
Yeah.
You've got something that I want, and I'm going to take it by force. That's what the thief did. That's attitude number one. We have people like that today in society.
Awesome.
You've got something, and somebody wants what you have. And they want to take it from you. That's attitude number one. Attitude number two is what's mine is mine. That's the priest, the Levite. He wanted to keep what he had. He wasn't willing to give up anything at all. So we got what's yours is mine. That's the thief. That's socialism, by the way.
Yeah.
Correct. We could get into a sermon on that, but we won't. And then the second attitude is what's mine is mine. That's godless capitalism. Capitalism without God. But what's mine is mine. And then attitude number three is what's mine is yours.
Amen.
That's a Samaritan. What I've got, I'll give you. Not afraid to give out something that belonged to the individual. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he gave the man, the innkeeper, 2 pence. 2,000 years ago, that was 2 days' wages.
Yeah.
So figure out your day's wage today. That was a handsome amount of money that this man took out of his own pocket and handed over to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And by the way, if there's anything else when I come back to check on him, he was coming back to check on him, by the way. He says, I'll pay you whatever I owe you.
Right.
Yeah, amen.
Boy, do we need that kind of an attitude today.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good. Right.
What can I render back to God? I can render my love back to God. That's number one. I can give Him my love. I can have that attitude that what's mine, Lord, belongs to You, really.
Right.
Because whatever God gave you, He gave it to you.
Right.
He gave it to you. Whatever it is you have, God gave that to you. If we have the attitude that everything belongs to God anyway, and God has only given it to me on loan, it belongs to God, that would change our attitudes in this room.
Right.
But so often, what's mine is mine, and I'm hanging on to it, and you can't have any part of it. We owe the Lord our love, because He loved us so much. We owe that to Him, folks. What shall I render? What can I render to God? What can I give back to God? I can give Him back my love.
That's right.
I can live what the Bible says. And we all struggle with this. Don't sit there and say you don't. You struggle with it too.
Right.
You see somebody that has a need and it's tough to give up what you have to meet that need of somebody else sometimes. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's just the way we are. That's the old flesh. I've got it. It's mine. I'm keeping it.
Yeah.
You ever see little kids play?
Oh, yeah.
Well, just walk down by the nursery and just watch the little kids for a little while. Mine. They're the same way. A little boy's playing with a truck and another little boy comes over. And what's that little boy do? He wants to play that truck. He just takes it out of his hand. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Takes it right away from him. You've got to teach those children to share their things.
Right.
We see it outside. Older kids. We only have so many swings. We don't have enough swings for the entire school. And so, not every day, but often I'll have kids. So-and-so's been on a swing way too long, and they're not sharing the swing, and I want to be on a swing. And so I got to go out and say, how long have you been on this swing? Oh, I just got on the swing. You know, one of those. Sure, you've probably been out there swinging for half an hour. But no, I just got on the swing. Yeah, well, get off the swing and let so-and-so get on the swing. But, you know, it's a constant. If we're going through all the time. Or the balls out. We have just a few balls. We don't have enough balls for everybody. So, but to watch them out there, they'll run around and grab the ball from somebody, and it's their ball, and they don't want to share the ball. They won't. Sometimes they don't even want to throw the ball to the other person. They just hold it. There's a ball, just hold it. You got to throw it. It was made to throw back and forth, and they don't even want to throw it back and forth. It belongs to them. It's their ball. And we have to remind them, it's not your ball. It belongs to the school and church. Throw the ball over to whoever. That's our days every day here at school. You wonder why we're the way we are. You wonder why I shake and shiver. The Lord's trying to teach us something very, very important.
That's right.
It's called love. So what can I give back to God? When the question is asked, what shall I render unto the Lord who has given me all of these benefits? I can give you, Lord, my love. The question I ask you often, but I did this morning with the Lord. I told the Lord this morning that I loved Him. Now, don't tell me what I just told you, that what I did, but have you told the Lord you loved Him lately? Some of you did that this morning, didn't you? Maybe in your devotion. You're reading, you're praying. And you said, Lord, I love you. But just think about the last time you told the Lord how much you loved him. You should tell him. You should tell them you love them all the time.
Amen.
You have kids. I have kids, grandkids. Little Arlie is so cute. Just out of the blue. Papa, bye. I love you.
Amen.
I love you too. And even a little Pauly sometimes. When he's feeling compassionate. He'll even say that sometimes. Papa, I love you. And other kids. Papa, I love you. And they do that with grandma. You know, love you. Just a little, I love you. And doesn't it make you feel special? Come on, doesn't it make you feel special? Yes. When a grandchild or your spouse or a child or somebody else, somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I want you to know that I love you.
Amen.
That makes you feel, that's special.
Amen.
We owe the Lord our love. He did so much for me that I don't deserve anything that I have today. Nothing. I don't deserve this pulpit. I don't deserve this church. I don't deserve my family. I don't deserve to be alive, really. But I am because of the love of God. I owe Him my love. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. You owe Him your love, too. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, some of you might have this memorized. It's a short little verse, but it says, we love Him because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. Look at chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. 1 John 5, 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. You cannot love the children of God without loving God.
Amen.
You've got to love God first, and then you'll love the children of God.
Amen.
You're a church member, a church attender, you come here, you cannot love everybody else effectively unless you're loving God first.
Amen.
You've got to have that vertical love between you and God before you can have the horizontal love between other people. You've got to have that. We've got to get to the point where we're loving the Lord. And I'll say this too, you can't love God effectively if you're loving other things.
Amen.
You know, there's a right kind of love and a wrong kind of love. Let me show you the wrong kind of love. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We have a problem in America today. We've got too many things. We've got too much junk.
Amen.
Come on, say amen. You got too much junk.
Yeah.
We've got too much junk. Mm-hmm. We have so much stuff. It's overwhelming sometimes.
Amen.
How much stuff we have. And we just keep bringing more stuff into our homes, into our garages, in our basements, in our attics. Just stuff. Gotta have stuff. Problem is we love those things too much. Some people have stuff that they'll never get rid of.
Yep.
They'll never use it. They just like to have it there. Love you, dear. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's not the stuff that you have you're going to abide forever. It's
that's right.
Doing the will of God allows you to abide forever. Now, I'm not saying you've got to hate all the stuff you have. No, you don't do that. Just don't use them as an idol. Don't put them more importantly than God.
Amen.
You don't put your car, your truck, your house, your fill in the blank. I don't care what it is. You all have stuff. I have stuff. We all have things.
That's right.
You don't put those things ahead of God.
That's right.
God comes first.
Amen.
He's allowed you to have those things.
Amen.
Maybe as a blessing. Maybe as a help. Maybe as a tool. Whatever the case may be. It's very difficult nowadays to get around without a car or a vehicle, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not Amish in here. We don't have horses and buggies. That's not how we. We're going to need one shortly.
Yep.
But remember, you still have to buy the bales of hay to feed the horse. Gas may be going up, but then all of a sudden, if we all went to horse and buggy, guess what? The price of bales would be out of this world. Oh, I can't afford hay anymore. But what you do, you stick them out in the yard. You don't have to mow the lawn anymore. You let them mow the lawn for you. But the way we live today, we need some of these things. Some of you travel a long distance to go to work. You need a vehicle that can get you there that day. You know? Some of you travel far enough to go to work, it'd take you a long time to get to work. If you had a horse and buggy, or you had to walk or ride a bicycle. Some of you travel a long distance to come to church here. Imagine this, Benedict's hopping in the horse and buggy and coming to our church. It'd take you hours to get here. You would have what?
Came last night.
Yeah, we came last night. Okay. Rich and Mary the same way. Rich, that hurt your back if you had to ride a horse to church. Just think about that for a little while. Be thankful you don't have a horse to ride, Rich. Amen. I'd like to see you get on a horse. Did you ever go horseback riding when we did that as over Temple? Did you ever go horseback riding with us? You've been on a horse?
I've been on a horse.
All right.
You have video of it?
Merry-go-round still counting. Yeah, you ride the merry-go-round, Rich? All the time?
Okay.
Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. Praise the Lord. Gas is going up. Well, but what else can you do, really? Do you control the gas price?
No.
Do you
no.
control the gas market? I wish we had our own oil well in the backyard here. I'd share all the oil. But we don't have that. We're dependent on this stuff. All you can do is just thank God. I used to, when I drove down the road and saw the gas station, when the prices dropped, I'd always praise the Lord. I've noticed lately I'm not praising the Lord when I go buy the gas station. I talk every day, I'm not praising God anymore.
Come on.
We laugh about that, but is that right? We only praise Him when things are going good. We only praise Him when the prices are going down. We don't praise Him when the prices are going up. We only praise Him when we're feeling good and healthy today. But boy, you wake up with a horrible back, shoulder, knee pain tomorrow, do we still praise God?
Amen.
We still praise the Lord.
Amen.
When you get a stack of bills in the mailbox like this and you got to pay them all within the next 30 days, do you still praise God? You know what I'm saying. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is riches, it's wealth, it's materialistic things. You can't serve both. You're going to love one and hate the other. I know what you think about hate. The word hate just means a lesser degree of love. That's what hate is. So you're going to hold one up over the other. If you're serving God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, strength, loving God, then God comes first. But so often we don't put God first. We've got all this other stuff ahead. Our job comes before God. Our things. We got to mow the lawn before we go to church. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got all these things that we have to do, and so we don't have God as part of that mix in our life. What shall I render? Let's go back to our text. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I owe the Lord my love. I owe Him that. Now, I can never love God like He loves me. Right? You can't love God like He loves you. But let me say this. You know how to love. The Bible teaches us how to love in the right way. You can love God. today. You can put Him first in your life. That's what it means to love God, is you put Him first in your life. You get up in the morning and you say, Lord, thank You for the day. Lord, I'm praising You today. I don't care what happens, I'm going to praise You and thank You. Gas can go to $10 a gallon, Lord, I'm still going to praise You.
Amen.
Not an easy thing to do, but that's what we got to do. In the good times and the bad times.
Amen.
Lord, I'm having trouble in my family. What do I do? How about just stopping and praising the Lord for a family?
Amen.
How about just thanking the Lord for something that you can find something every day to thank God and praise Him for?
Amen.
If it's just a bird singing in the morning, that's good enough.
Amen.
When the hummingbirds come by my window, I think, God, how did you did that? You made that little thing. That little tiny bird that just zooms in and out, you know, puts it in, goes up, puts it in park, sits there, puts it in reverse and takes off. It's amazing how those things can. But God made that bird to do that. He made the hummingbird. He made the eagle. He made these birds that can, that's just amazing. I mean, the cardinal was at our feeder the other day, a red bird. I mean, God, you painted that bird that color for a reason. Painted the blue jays and the bluebirds and painted the Orioles. It's amazing. We're out mowing Barb's lawn the other day. We saw an Oriole at her feeder. She's got a pheasant.
Yeah.
A wild pheasant that she feeds. That is a beautiful... Listen, you've got to see this pheasant that she... I think it's hers now. This is a gorgeous bird. Just incredible. She said there's a peacock that comes down once in a while from the neighbor. If you saw any of my posts when I was in Puerto Rico, the peacock that came right up next to me and his feathers were hitting me in the face. I had to tell him, would you move over please a little bit? I mean, the feathers and the colors in those feathers. I said, God, you made that. You did that. Peacocks are just amazing. I almost would like to own a peacock just to watch it.
They're mean birds.
They are terrible. They make an awful noise. You have to duct tape their beak.
They're
a horrible noise. That peacock word in Puerto Rico was just making a I became the ability to awful noise. God made the chicken. Peacock, chicken.
It's here.
And God is laughing the whole time. But you don't eat peacock, but you eat the chicken. Amen? You wouldn't think of killing a peacock and eating it. Well, you have no problem killing a chicken and eating it. Amen. Some of you might have chicken today. Just think about that chicken. But God made everything.
That's
right.
His creation is just—it floors me that God did all. I mean, He's such a variety.
Yeah.
Colors. Different colors of flowers. Sometimes I look at a flower and say, God, now how did You do that? How did You make a yellow tulip and a red tulip? How did You do that? He just painted one different color than the other, right? That's how God does that. It's in that bulb of that tulip. God put it in the whole thing. I mean, it's going to come up a yellow tulip every time.
Yeah.
The peacock's going to have those feathers every time. The pheasant is going to have that beautiful sheen on those, that purple and black. I mean, it's just an amazing color of that pheasant. God did that. We serve a great God. He might paint us a sunset later. I don't know. It might be storming. I think it's supposed to storm later. But we can still praise the Lord even if it rain and snow. Thank You, Lord, for the snow.
Amen.
We're getting a half a foot out in Colorado. They can keep it out there.
They need it.
Really?
Yeah. I heard that the other day. Anyway, God is such an amazing God.
Amen.
What shall I render? How about the love of God? How about loving God?
Yeah.
For who He is. For what He has done.
That's
Does He save your soul?
Yes. Amen.
That's the biggest reason to love Him back, is He saved you.
Thank the Lord.
He gave you His grace and His mercy. He shed His love upon you. Love Him back.
Amen.
When somebody loves you, like I said, when Arlie or Paulie or one of the kids say, "Papa, I love you," what do I say back? I don't sit there and say, "I hate you." I don't go over and smack him in the face. Or, no, I love you too. I love you too, right? You do that, Judd?
All the time.
Somebody tells you you love him, go over and hit him?
No.
Folks, I love
you.
See what you did? You gave me a little love back. Just a little. You didn't give me much. So you didn't say anything. And I don't blame you. But we owe God our love.
Amen.
We owe it to Him. We owe it to Him. What shall I render? My love. God, I love you. Thank you for saving me.
Amen.
Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins.
Amen.
You know how many sins I've sinned down through the years? I'm 68 years old. I got 68 years of sin. Some of you got a little bit more on me.
Amen.
Some of you got a lot less. But regardless, we're all sinners.
Amen.
In need of salvation and in need of forgiveness.
Amen.
And He's done that. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has forgiven you of all your sins. He's wiped the slate clean.
Amen.
He's got a spiritual eraser that He just erases the entire board with all your sins mentioned there. Gone. Completely gone. You should be loving God today. Father, thank You again for Your Word. And thank You, Lord, for that verse that we looked at today. We have a lot more to cover, Lord, later, so I pray that You'd help us with that. Lord, thank You for loving us. Thank You, Lord, for giving Your Son. Father, thank You for giving Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on that cross. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Lord, thank You for that. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for me and shedding Your blood for me. Going through all that You went through for me, because You love me. That, to me, is amazing grace. Lord, use the Holy Spirit right now. Speak to every heart that's in this room. You know what we need, Lord. I pray that that would be met now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Rich, what are you going to play?
174.
What is that?